I'm a grateful recovering addict named Landon. First, can we take a moment and actually give a round of applause for everyone who participated in making this brand of 39 possible? It has not been an easy year with COVID. I know that a lot of people went through different things, felt certain feelings, but the beautiful thing is that we can come together in the spirit of unity and help each other stay clean.
Yeah.
You know, I know that COVID destroyed a lot of families, but I also know the disease of addiction has destroyed a lot of lives. So like I said, I'm a recovering addict named Landon. I want to thank Brandon 39 for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. It's always an honor and a privilege to go anywhere and do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, because NA has done so much for me. And see, one thing I need to tell you is I try to stay excited about my recovery because I know relapse is excited about me. If you're new in here and you don't value your clean time yet, we value your clean time. A lot of blessings and a lot of miracles happen in 24 hours. A lot of blessings and a lot of miracles happen in a couple of weeks. If you continue to come, you'll come too, and then you can come to believe.
Yeah.
And this program will save your life. The steps are written in past tense is because it's a proven program to save people's lives. Before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I wore black hoodies, I wore Ray-Bans at night, I wore Saints fitted, and I had a black t-shirt, and I had gold teeth. So I looked like a thugged out disco ball. I had a chip on both shoulders, and I begged someone to knock one off. When I came here, I heard stuff like, keep coming back. I just didn't hear the don't use. See, my clean date is November 24th, 2007, but I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous when I was 14. Y'all know the red and blue lights? They brought me to a meeting. It was an 8 p.m. meeting, and they actually sat in the parking lot and scared everyone and waited for me to leave the meeting at the end to take me back home. So what I need to share with you is when I got here, I wasn't presented in an Easter basket. I wasn't dressed up like a Christmas present. I had a lot of internal conflict that was unaddressed, and so for years, it addressed me. Because, see, people will come in here and think that you have a drug problem. That's not the problem. The problem is you, but we can't get to you as long as you continue to use drugs. Don't settle for less than you're worth. I've heard people over the years come in. You know what I mean? You can tell when people first come in and they'll say things, well, Narcotics Anonymous didn't work, or they judged me, or I can't do this, or I love this one, God tested my recovery. God never tested your recovery. You tested your recovery. I'm going to try to be mindful of my language. I know there's young ones here, but I'm going to say this one time and I won't say it again. In order to get fucked, first I have to get in position. I no longer get in position. So let me tell you, at the age of 20, I was arrested for beating up a police officer in a Walmart parking lot because they wouldn't allow me to return a $40 coffee maker to get the money to go get one. But the messed up part was, is why we were riding downtown in the cop car, I was like, I was gonna go to a meeting after I got the money and I got the bag. So I was going to use them to go to the meeting. Because, see, I told you, I heard the keep coming back, I just didn't hear the don't use. You know, it was kind of like the dope man, I never went to his house and he's like, oh, Landon, you look like you're not doing well. Sit down, here's a free one, tell me how your day's going. Like that never happened, but it was weird though, because he kind of had his own catchphrase for keep coming back. You know, but like what I learned is that, like, a bottom is when you stop digging. A lot of people wait for a bottom as like a jail sentence or an overdose or someone passes away or you run out of money. All you have to do is accept it and back away. So once I did that, man, once I made a commitment, when I got here, I read at a second grade level and I wrote at a kindergarten level. I couldn't spell apple, I couldn't spell bear, I couldn't spell America or chocolate. And my first sponsor, I remember asking him, I was like, can I get these steps on audio? And he was like, no, Landon, you have to read the step working guide and work the steps. I grew up in LD classes, so I used from 8 years old to 20. And when I say I used, I was like a half a Newport and a bottle of MD 2020 type addict. And if you had anything else, I would use that too. So when I got here and told him I couldn't read, he actually took the time to teach me how to read. And the first reading he made me read was Who's an Addict? And I'm grateful for him. And let me go ahead and just give him a shout out. That's Mike G in Roanoke, Virginia. Now, I told you when I got here, I was rough around the edges. So they would do things like invite me out for coffee. And so I started going with them downtown. I get like I'm not using it anymore, Teddy, so I got money now. So I'm getting like the $7 iced coffees with the whipped cream on top. I got my cigarettes. And then I started going by myself. But then I started seeing people. You ever like get clean and then like your perception starts to change and you're like, is that a real person? This is... All right, hang on. So I told my friend, I called him and I said, hey, what are you doing? And he told me, he's like, I'm eating dinner with my family. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm people watching. He said, what do you mean people watching? I said, you know, like some people bird watch, I people watch. And he said, Landon, that is called stalking, and you go to jail for that. He said, you need to go home. He said, 90% of your problems wouldn't have happened if you would have just learned how to go home. He said, go home right now. And I was like, yes, sir. You know, because the literature talks about, man, when we're using, we acquire strange mannerisms and habits. I like people watching. That shit is stalking. Stalk people. And if they look good, I stalk them longer. So, when I got clean, I had about 6 days clean, and I was like, I need to take myself to a movie. Take myself out to eat. My friend told me that. He said, do something good for yourself. Right. So I spent so many years like numbing me and doing everything I could not to feel. And I went to the movie theater and I started asking them what was playing. And you know, when you're using, you don't think about going to see a movie. And they were like, we have this. And I was like, no, I like the sound of that. And they were like, we got this. And I was like, no. And they were like, we got this one called The Notebook. I was like, I'll see that. When I tell you I had to leave halfway through the movie to get the tissue box from the concession stand, because this is what happened. I didn't realize it was a love story. But when you use for so long and you harm people and you abandon the relationships that people try so hard to hold on to with you, and then you wax something so beautiful, like they found each other and they split up and they found each other again, then he's doing everything he can to help her remember the relationship together. It's like all these feelings and emotions came up. So like I left there and it was like I had a spiritual awakening. I was like, I have to love people. I have to tell them about this movie. Like, I gotta meet Noah and Rachel McAdams and like let them know what this did for me. And they were like, Landon, you have to stay clean. Right, so I called my friend and I was like, hey man, I heard you got an apartment. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, hey, you mind if I rent out like a 4-foot space in your living room? And he said, what do you mean? I said, like, I have a pillow and a blanket. Can I like live in your living room and I'll like rent movies and buy food? That'll be like my rent. And he was like, yeah. So, but he would still get mad at me because at night, if I heard something, I would look out the window. And he would get up and say, Landon, please go to sleep. You don't need to do that. And I was like, well, how'd you get this apartment? Like, what'd you do? You know what I mean? Because like the literature talks about, we must relearn many things we had forgotten and develop a new approach to living in order to survive. It's not that I forgot how to get an apartment, it's that I never had one. So he said, we'll take you down to the office and you fill out this paper. And I was like, what do they ask you? And he was like, well, they ask you about your references and your credit. And I was like, what is that? You know, because the only shit I had was street credit. I knew what that was. I know that if I do this for you, you got to do this for me. If I do something for you, I know you owe me. And I'm going to use that later on. And it's my ace in the hole. And like, so he brought me there and I filled out the paper. And then the lady called me and she was like, you have been approved for an apartment. You would have thought I just got a government job. And I was like, now what do I do? He said, Landon, now you gotta get a job. I was like, shit. And I was like, how do I file for the disability thing where it sends you money every month? He said, what do you think, Landon? I said, I don't know, man. Like the Jehovah's Witness will come to my door and give me a check. Like, here you go. You know. He's like, no, man, that's not how that works. So I applied for some jobs. Now, what do you do when you really have no work experience? There was only so many years that I could fabricate fake work experience. So I finally went to a Hardee's, and a friend of mine gave me a black key tag that he had picked up. So what did I do? I let them know I had 2 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous. I speak everywhere, and people love me. They hired me, right? So here, this is the deal though. I told you I used to stalk people, so now I have to look at the people who work there who are in charge of the money, and I'm like, all right, they got their pants pulled up, put the hat on straight. All right, name tag's good, no dirt on it. And I worked there, you know, I showed up. I was like, yeah, I'm employable. You know what I mean? So then one day, about 3 weeks into it, they said, Landon, we need you to go out to the freezer outside and get a thing of burgers and french fries. And I was like, all right, I can do that. So I went outside and I'm going to the freezer and I open the freezer and I step inside and then the door closes behind me. Now it is pitch black, and I am locked in a Hardee's freezer. So I'm trying to kick the door, and when I'm talking about, I try to kick the door, I'm like, I'm trying to kick the door, like, for my life. So about 10, 15, 20 minutes go by. I'm going like this and checking my pulse. I knew about that because I had OD'd before and shit, so people would be like going like that. So I remembered. And so I'm checking my pulse, and I'm like, all right, it's getting a little slower. I'm going to just sit down on these French fries because people talked about God's will, so maybe this is God's will for me, but at least I'll die clean. I'm talking about with 3 weeks clean, I was just grateful to be clean, and I would go out clean. And about 45 minutes after sitting there, something in my head said, Landon, kick that door one more time. But what happened was when I was in there, it was dark, and fear set in, worry set in, panic set in. I was scared. But when I kicked the door one more time, I kicked the emergency release button I didn't know about, and the door swung open. I fell on the ground. I was the 3 weeks cleanest, happiest motherfucker you've ever met in your life. And it's funny how my whole perception changed. I was like grateful to live again, because we talk about, man, our defects grow in the dark and they die in the light of exposure. It's not hard to get to the light. It's hard to stay in the light. Fifth step talks about addicts tend to live secret lives. So I went inside and I said, look, it's been real. I got to quit. And they said, why? And I said, because I have a healthy fear of getting locked in that freezer again. So I went home and I called my friend. And I was like, hey, man, I had to quit. He said, why? I said, I got locked in the freezer. He said, Landon, what the fuck? I said, I don't know, man. He said, Landon, you're a fool, man. Go get another job. So I went and got another job laying brick. And I stayed there 6 months and 3 days. And they fired me. And I called him and I said, look, man, I'm not getting any better. He said, what happened? I said, they fired me. He said, Landon, you are getting better. He said, they fired you. You didn't quit. They didn't want you there, but you wanted to be there. He said, you're getting better. Go get another job. And I got another job. And since then, I've been employable. You know what I mean? And like, what I understand is like, when people believe in me, that is a lot more powerful than somebody giving me a handout. Because I know how to make my own money. I know how to grind. I don't need what you earned. I need you to believe in me. So I met this lady. Right? And people would say things like, well, wait till your flavor walks in the room. I didn't have a flavor. You just needed a pulse. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. As long as you were breathing, you were game. And if you smiled at me, I mean, that was a bonus too. So, like, I was like, hey, I got 11 months clean. She was like, yeah. I was like, let's get married. So I called my friend, and I said, hey, man, I'm getting married. I got my apartment. I said, are you coming? He said, Landon, I'm not coming to that satanic shit. I said, what? I said, who's going to be my best man? He said, not me. I said, all right, I got you. So we get married. And I'm not promoting that. Don't do that. Right. I know people say don't get into a relationship for your first year. We need to be precise when we tell people that. That's like telling people an addict alone is in bad company. And then they walk around and think that. Well, why are they in bad company, Landon? It's because he or she is the last person they used with. Allow some other people to think for you. So, it's like, so we get married and we move in together. Here's the deal, though. If I'm not working on myself, if I'm truly not working on myself, see, the fourth step, man, hang on, before I go to the fourth step, let's go to the second step. So, we get married, and I don't have a goals list, Teddy. I have a gratitude list. I'm grateful I got a job. I'm grateful to be clean. I'm grateful I got a wife. I don't have any goals. She works. I sit at home. My friend called me and said, Landon, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for self-esteem. He said, what do you mean waiting on it? I said, I'm waiting on it to show up so I can feel good about myself. And he said, Landon, in order to get self-esteem, you have to do esteemable acts. He said, you need to get a home group, and you need to start doing service work and get involved and, like, set some chairs out and help some people. It doesn't, like, magically appear, poof. And then, like, we're all able to sit down, and, like, coffee's made, and, you know what I mean? It's in Harry Potter. This shit don't work like that. So, like, he told me that. In order to get self-esteem, you have to esteem wax. So we get to the second step, man. I told you, man, a bottom is when you stop digging. Like, victory lies in the admission of defeat. I was defeated. For me to win is for me to be in the ground. I don't want to win against this disease. I have a healthy respect for the disease of addiction, because if I don't respect the disease, it'll disrespect me. So, the second step, man, like, I understand, like, I have to be open-minded to try something different. And what happened is, like, when I started making a goals list, and I started actually achieving the goals. 6 months into making that goals list, man, I looked back and I was like, I'm being restored to sanity. Restoration is to restore to its original state or make new again. So when you get to the third step, man, it talks about the proof. This step is showing the way we live. So, like, now I have having a wife and an apartment, and I'm working, and communication, maintenance is key, man, in anything you do. Maintenance, communication, trust, understanding, compassion, tolerance. It's gonna feel messed up for me to talk about this now because I've grown so much over the years. So I went to a meeting and I was sharing. And I looked down and I saw a woman smile at me. Now, women got different faces. You know the face she was making. It was the what you doing later on when everybody goes to play cards type face. And I may have stalked her. So, I'm married to my wife, and a week later, this lady tells me she's pregnant. I'm talking about with 2 years clean. And I was honest with my wife at the time. And I said, here's the deal, this is what happened. If you want to stab me, please do it now because I have health insurance and they'll help me. And she said, Landon, I'm not going to do that because your guilt and shame is probably eating you up enough. And it was. It truly was. So when I hear people talk about being uncomfortable in a meeting, when you have your wife sitting next to you and directly in front of you is a lady pregnant with your kid, that's uncomfortable. But here's the deal, man. This is how God worked in that situation. If we're not humble, we become humiliated. My wife at the time wrote a letter describing that we would be blessed with a child in our lives that she didn't have to bear. And it meant a lot to me. It truly did. And so what happened was that son was born, and we did the back and forth visiting my son, and he was a baby, and he terrified me. You know, if you don't have kids, if you want to be terrified, have a kid. And be like, that is me coming at me. I know how I can be. He can be the same way. So we get to the fourth step, man, right? And I start working on my resentments, and I'm looking at the fact that, like, I have some issues from my childhood. And just to make it real clear, like, I don't want to dwell on my childhood or what it was like in active addiction, but I'll let you know, being from New Orleans, Louisiana, like, some things took place that maybe gave me some mother issues, and some things took place where I had to sleep with as many women as I could in order to get away from what I thought I was when I wasn't that at all. I was molested as a child, and I thought that the more women I slept with, the further away from gay I was. And when I got clean, I told my first sponsor, and he said, Landon, you were never gay. You were just trying to prove something to yourself that wasn't even there. He said, but you are a hoe. We need to address that. I'm going to go ahead and explain my mom issues real quick. So I didn't get the love and nurturing that I needed. So I hate to say all my kids and their mothers are older than me. By a little lady, no. By like 10 years, 15 years, that type thing. I'm 35. So we get to this fourth step, man, and like I'm looking at the resentments, and I'm like, I'm resentful towards everybody. Like, it was a conspiracy for me to have a messed up life. So I'm putting down my parents, I'm putting down the court system, I'm putting down my wife that I'm with, I'm putting down everybody. And what I come to find out is that 90% of my resentments were bullshit, because they were unrealistic expectations I put on other people, knowing that when you fall short, I can play the victim, which means I don't take responsibility for anybody or anything I do. See, I put the exit door up before I even get into a relationship with you, because as soon as you don't meet my demands, you harmed me. Now, I'm leaving. Right? Sixth step talks about we left a sea of destruction behind us. Harm can be caused by things said, done, or left undone. See, people are scared of the fourth step, man. When it talks about the fourth step is one of the most loving things we can do for ourselves. Right? The courage in the fourth step. Let me tell you how I was able to get the courage. So, me and my ex-wife, we're in the minivan. Kids are in the back seat. We got two kids now also. So now there's three boys. They're watching Bob the Builder on the DVD player. We start arguing. I'm sure, like, I don't know, Kirk Franklin or something was playing in the car. We start arguing, and I was like, I need to do something. But I never had the courage to look another human being in the eye, because I wasn't grateful for who I was. And I was also terrified that if you looked at me in my eye, you might think I'm mean mugging. Which, if you don't know what mean mugging means, it's looking at someone angry. And then you might want to fight me. So we drove by a 7-Eleven, and I looked over on the ice maker, and there was a poster. And I was like, I'm going to do that. Right? We're going to get past this fourth step. I'm going to do this courage thing. So I called, and he was like, where do you train at? I was like, I train everywhere. I'm ready. Right? When I was 18, I was a boxer, and I was supposed to go fight for the Golden Gloves in New York, but I went to jail. So the punishment my dad gave me was you can't go fight. So I signed up to Cage Fight. You don't know me. That's pretty much what I was thinking. So what happened was I went to the Cage Fight. Now here's the deal, I told you people believed in me. So when I went to Cage Fight, my ex-wife was my corner, and my friends from Narcotics Anonymous were there to support me. And what we all come to find out is that I can fight. But what they do when you step in the cage is they make both fighters come up to each other and you do a stare down. And me being the goofy clown that I am, we're like, you know what I mean? And they were like, what? What's wrong with him? Like, a lot of them were angry. I was just happy. So we fought and I did really well. And my friend said, you should fight again. And I said, man, I'm not doing that barbaric mess. I'm good. I'm good. I did my cage fighting. I got my courage. I'm going to write about it. I'm going to get past this fourth step. He said, Landon, cage fight again. So I did. And I won. And he said, cage fight again. And I did, and I won a belt. And he said, cage fight again. And I did, and I signed a professional contract. And he said, cage fight again. And I signed a pay-per-view contract. And then Landon took over and said, Landon, we're going to cage fight again. And I suffered an orbital fracture blowout. My eye came out in a tie fight. So I had to use the glove to push my eye back in. If we are not humble, we will be humiliated. So that was the end of that. Now I had to go get a regular job. Let me tell you another one of my favorite steps, man. We talk about the mask must go, right? Our true value is in being ourselves, right? So you do this work on yourself. You're like, man, my pants seem to come up a whole lot over the years, right? I wear glasses now. And look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not promoting Ray-Bans, but it's hard to see bad days through my Ray-Bans. Woo, it feels good. Shit. You know you look good, too. We have a glow. So, with the fifth step, man, like recovery is what happens in our meetings, man. This is recovery. This is the spirit of unity. See, Jimmy K was big on you and I together. Unity. You and I together. He was big on unity. You know, because I honestly believe united we stand and divided we fall. And I don't believe human beings were created to be by themselves and not communicate with other people because I suffer from a spiritual disease.
That's right.
And so, like, with the self-acceptance, man, self-acceptance is knowing that I've grown, but there's still more work that needs to be done. So I get to the sixth step. People are like, oh my, not that sixth step. Look, I was excited for the sixth step because I knew I was messed up. I just wanted to know how bad. So I do the sixth step, right? And it's real weird because, like, you don't have to tell anybody you're doing a sixth step. They see it. They see it. Then you might open your mouth in a meeting and be like, why are they talking about me? Oh, you mean the guilt and shame you feel behind the shit you did before you got to the meeting? So now you feel like when you walk in the meeting, you're naked and everybody can see what you did, so you feel bad about that and now you want to leave? Nah. If I can't tell somebody what I'm doing, chances are I shouldn't do it. Right? If I tell myself I can do something, chances are I can do it. If I tell myself I can't, chances are I won't because I won't even try. So, like, with the sixth step, man, like, y'all ever watch The Extreme Hoarders Buried Alive? You see, look, what you start out with is a nice house. And then slowly, see, I've worked the sixth step. Like, people talk about the disease. I worked the sixth, it's me! I am the disease. It's like it's Landon, and then there's thugged out, Oxcott eating crackhead. And sometimes he will be like, "Hey, Landon, what do you think about this?" And I'll be like, "We did that 8 years ago, and that did not go well. We're not doing that today." Right? So, y'all have by yourself meetings. I do. Like, we ain't talking about that. So, with the six-step, man, like, with the extreme waters very alive, man, what happens is, like, over a period of time, like, the disease doesn't even need to come at me anymore. It can send a defect. Right? So, what happens is, now, the defects are in the house. And now, you can't see the floor. And what happens is, like, the defects override my ability to see the blessings clearly because I'm able and available and mature enough to handle them, but I can't hold on to them anymore because my hands are full of defects. So what happens is, like, they go in and they give the people the choice, and they're like, hey, because often God works through those who care enough about recovery to make us aware of our shortcomings. Right? So, like, people come in and they make them aware. They're like, "Hey, you need to clean this and clean this and clean this." And what's going to happen is, if you don't, is we're going to have to condemn your house. And so, like, personally, internally, for me as a recovering addict and a human being, like, if I'm so full of defects and I'm not looking for help or asking people for help, because, see, honesty isn't telling somebody after you do it. Honesty is telling somebody before you do it, because if you do it and then tell somebody, you're not getting honest. You're just copping the guilt and shame you don't want to feel as a result of your decision making. So when I tell you this is what's going on with me, like it's freeing, man. Like, the thing that can camp out is promise of freedom. It's freeing to get that up off of me, because I don't have to carry it anymore. And look, don't be scared to do that, thinking people don't talk shit about you, because once you put it out there on the floor, if they want to take it, let them take it. Then tomorrow they'll be like, "Hey, Landon, can you help me get this up off me? Like, they got it all off of you." And it's like, "Yeah, I can help you. Come here. Not everything is for you. Don't be holding on to that shit." Some people talk about they have humility when really they have control issues. Put that shit down. You don't need that. If it doesn't contribute to my health or happiness, I try not to mess with it. You know, so like what happens is, like, the people come in and they clean up the lady's house, and she actually has a house. And, like, even though the possessions are gone, her mind's still messed up, right? Because it takes time, man. Because when I got clean, like, it was one thing to give up the drugs. It was another thing to give up the lifestyle. So what happens is, like, the seventh step hit, man. The seventh step. And so, like, with step seven, me and my ex-wife, we went to Walmart. And I told y'all I'd been arrested at Walmart prior. So we're going through Walmart, and the seventh step, man, it talks about, I won't go through as much insanity and pain and stuff if I can stay out of the arenas, you know, that cause pain. So, like, I'm walking through the aisle of Walmart, and I look over, right, you know I got those eyes, and I see this generic version of Vanilla Ice, Mean Mugging. And I look at my ex-wife and I say, "Hey, you think I should ask him if he's got a problem?" And she's like, "Landon, please, no." And I'm like, "He looks like a bag of Skittles. Like, if I looked like that when I was using, I'm sorry." So she said, "Landon, we walked in here free. Let's walk out just as free." And I looked over at him, and I was like, "You lucky." And so we go outside, and I call my dad. And I'm like, "Hey, Dad, what you doing?" He's like, "I'm not doing a whole lot, Landon. What's going on?" And I said, "Man, I'm at Walmart. But somehow I keep wanting to go to jail at Walmart for fighting. And he said, Landon, why don't you become a Sam's Club member? I've been a Sam's Club member for about 10 years now. Never been in a fight in Sam's Club. And it's a business membership. So, this is what happened. We wind up becoming homeless together, and a friend of mine called me and said, hey, Landon, I manage these apartments. I can get you in here in a week. And I'm like, alright. He said, a week sounds good. And so we move in, and y'all ever seen the movie Training Day?
Yep.
There was about 30 kids riding bicycles in the street. We trying to drive, I'm like, hey buddy, why don't you move over and this and that. And so we go pull up in the apartments, and I asked my friend, I was like, we good here? He was like, if you don't have a gun, Landon, you might want to get one. I was like, man, all right. I was like, we good. So this is what happened. So we moved in, right? I went and I painted a porch for a pistol. Right? Me. So I come home and I'm like, hey, I got good news. And she's like, how much did they pay you to paint the porch? And I was like, no, I got a handgun instead. And she was like, Landon, now I'm scarier with you having the gun than the other people having guns. You can't keep that here. I was like, come on, now it's for our safety. She's like, you're going to shoot yourself. So I got rid of the gun. And people would speed through there, right? But kids play. See, one thing about me, I've always had a soft spot for old people, kids, and women. I'll slide on you if you mess with one of them. And what I mean by that is we're going to have to throw down. So I yelled at this car to slow down, and he stopped. There's about three people in the car, right? I told you I'm cage fighting already. I'm good. I mean, I'm about the size of a 12-year-old, but I mean, I'll throw hands. And so the car stops, and they get out, and they're like, hey, yo, you got a problem? And I'm like, no, but we can do something. And then the neighbor looks out and says, was you in Roanoke City Jail like 10 years ago? I said, yeah. He's like, Mr. Landon. And I was like, damn, he put the Mr. in front of me. Made me feel nice. And he said, you want some help? I said, no, I'm good, man, I'm good. He said, you sure there's three of them? It ain't no problem. And I said, all right, help me out. He yelled in the apartment, hey, y'all come out and bring the one. And I was like, shit, I don't know what the one is, but that don't sound good. And nine people surrounded that car. And what come to find out is the one was his pistol. And he was yelling at the guy, I'm about to shoot the one. You ain't gonna mess with Mr. Landon. And I was like, I'm And so they were like, we don't want any problems, and they drove off. And he was like, Mr. Landon, you ever need anything else, you let me know. I was like, all right. I was like, oh shit. All right, I'm good. The next day, I saw a kid chasing a grown man down the middle of the street. And I said, hey kid, come here. And he said, what? I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 15. I said, what are you doing? He said, this guy was talking like really messed up to my mom. I'm gonna go beat him down. And I said, you ever thought about combat sports? And he's like, yeah, I'll come talk to you in a minute. I'm gonna take care of this. When I tell you, I heard, and then pow, that kid knocked that grown man out, and he hit the concrete like a bag of rocks. And I said, come here, man, let's go talk to your mom. And I said, do you mind if I train him? And I come to find out that the boy's dad was from the Philippines and his mom was from West Virginia. And he had just moved to Roanoke from West Virginia. You get me? And he was about 5'6", 155. And he was 15, so as you can imagine, when he walked on his hands in the street, I watched. So I trained him for 6 months in my backyard, and he made his MMA debut, and he put the guy in the hospital for 3 days. And he fought in front of Kimbo Slice, and he fought again, and he fought again, and he fought again, and he became a UFC prospect. Me and my ex-wife made a decision. We were arguing. I don't know if you know anything about arguing, about how crazy it can get. But as a kid, I used to cry myself to sleep because my mom would argue with her ex-husbands. And I made a decision when my son cried in front of me and I was trying to wipe his tears and tell him to have a good day at school that I wasn't going to keep that environment going. And I made a decision to leave. And when I left, I said, I'm going to make a better life for us. I didn't have a license. At the time, I didn't have a job. And I didn't have anything. I left the money I had on the dresser and I left. And what happened was, I got a text from my first sponsor and it said, rest in peace, little Bruce Lee. And I called him and I said, what happened? And he said, Morgan had a problem with this kid. And Morgan went to his house and the kid just shot and killed him. And it broke my heart because when I was with my ex-wife and we lived at the apartments, I would always tell him, you can't fight unless you get your grades up. And he would run to my apartment with his report card and say, Landon, I got A's. Will you coach me? And I say, yeah, man, let's go. So he'd go way in and he'd fight. And it's the difference between being a trainer and being a coach. If you're a trainer, it's about you. Once you become a coach, your career is no longer important to you. Their career is important to you. The humility in that relationship, man. It was unreal. He shouldn't have went out like that. So when me and my ex-wife split up, I went to a Thirsty Club meeting. Don't get mad at me. Shit. Y'all notice too, when people say AA in a meeting, it's like somebody just cussed real bad. They get this like face. It's like, come on now, we're not gangbanging. We don't need to do that. Did not think we would. I didn't say that. So I go to this meeting and I don't know what it is about women, but when they look at me, it's like I want to look back. And look, I don't have much to offer. I got a lot of baggage. At this time, I have 3 sons, no job, and I have a rescue mission card for me to stay there. And she was like, hey, you want to go out and eat? And I was like, yeah, I'll go out and eat with you. And so we go grab food, and she's like, where do you live? I was like, oh, I live downtown. And she was like, can we go back to your house and watch a movie or something? I was like, all my roommates are crazy. We can't go back there. And I said, where do you live? And she said, I live downtown. And I was hoping she lived at the rescue mission too. That way I could tell the truth. She said, we can go back to my place and watch a movie. I was like, all right. When she opened this door, and it looked like I just stepped into a Marriott, I said, damn. She said, what? I said, huh, you rent this? She said, no, I own this. I was like, ooh, shot. I'm not for her. This is a real woman. She owning shit and had her makeup good and shit her gear right and I was busted. I was like, we can still watch that movie, right? She was like, yeah. And so then when I go to leave, she was like, where do you stay at for real? I was like, what do you mean? She was like, I saw your socks, and they're like kind of brown. They supposed to be white socks. So I was like, all right, let me be real with you. I have 3 kids. I just left my ex-wife. I have no job, but I like you. And she was like, at least you're honest with me. I was like, I am, very honest. I just didn't want to tell you about the rescue mission. And she said, those were your crazy roommates? And I said, yeah, there's about 150 people in there trying to sleep. She said, all right. She said, here's the deal. I've heard you at NA meetings before talk about how you cry when you watch The Notebook. And you talk about yourself a lot. And I was like, shit, I'm my favorite topic. And she said, I'm going to let you stay with me till you get on your feet. And I'm looking around. I was like, oh my God. I'm making it. So what happened was, I didn't have any way to pay my child support. But I know one thing, man. If you spent years hustling like I did, I know how to sell guns in a heartbeat. So I did a little bit of work, and I started buying and selling guns and diamonds. And I paid my child support. And I showed her my resume. And at this time, she said, you have a wonderful resume. You just can't spell real good. And she said, there's no periods or quotation marks or commas. And I'm like, whoa, what's all that? All I know how to do is try to write it out. And she said, I'm gonna fix it for you. And she rewrote my resume. And I wound up getting a job as a director of operations for a huge restoration company. And so apparently if I would have got some help on making a resume years before, I would have gotten a good job. And what happened was I had a court date I had to go to. And it was just to show proof that I was paying my child support. And so, you know what I mean? I put on a 3-piece suit and I go to the courthouse and I'm waiting. And it was weird because that lawyer said, it's at 2 o'clock. And I was like, I ain't never been to court at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock don't sound right. And he's like, it's at 2 o'clock. So I get there at 2 and I sit there till 5. And I said, hey, when y'all going to call my case? And she said, oh, your case was at 8:30 this morning. They issued the habeas already. I had 8.5 years clean. So I went back to the house and she said, how'd it go? I said, I'm wanted, so I gotta go turn myself in. And she's like, really? And I was like, yeah. I said that I told you that lawyer was wrong all the time. So I went back and I turned myself in. You know, a month later, she went and bought the Prime Toms and said, I love that picture of you. And I said, that's a mug shot. She said, that is a very handsome picture of you. And she hung it on the fridge. Parents come over, they see it. Her family comes over, they see it. Her mom laughed when she saw it. And I'm like, can we move past this? So about 3 weeks later, I felt this weird feeling. And what it was in my private area. And I told her, I said, hey, I hurt down there real bad. And she said, oh, you just drank too much caffeine. You always drinking those Full Throttles and the Red Bulls and the coffee. And I was like, no, man, that sounds crazy. No, I hurt down here. And she said, well, we'll make an appointment. So she made me an appointment, and I went to the doctor, and he said, you have testicular cancer. And I don't know if anyone's ever said anything to you where the whole world seems to go in slow motion, but that happened for me. But let me tell you one of my favorite prayers, and I'm going to explain to you why. The prayer goes like this. If this is your will for me, just let me be okay through it. Now, okay, you may think everything positive. That's not what it stands for. Okay means I want to be able to accept this shit put a smile on my face and go through the process until I get out on the other side. And if I don't make it out, at least let me be okay going through the journey to get there. It's acceptance. The literature talks about coming to know surrender on a deeper level. So, he was like my sponsor. He was like, look, I'm going to need you to go ahead and show up here tomorrow. The next day we're going to do this. The next day we're going to do this. Then the next day we're going to do surgery. And he was like, you may have to go to therapy after the surgery because it messes with some men. I was like, shit, if you need both, I'm going to go ahead and take both. He was like, no, we just need one, and you don't want us to take both. And I was like, well, shit, do what you gotta do. So they did. And at the time, I called my sponsor, Vito, and I said, so that 11th step, man, you know, we went through the 10th step. I'm doing the right thing when nobody's looking. I'm going to work now because she helped me with my resume. But that 11th step, I didn't want to write on. And what's weird is Vito had said, if you don't write on that 11th step, you're going to live that 11th step. Right? So to show up and wait was exactly what I had to do. See, prayer and meditation is when I pray, I talk about the problem. When I meditate, I listen for the solution. And the solution was for me to be still and just show up and be available. And so when I did that, and I went through the surgery, and I came out on that, then I started trying to get custody, joint custody of my sons. And she told me that she liked me, and she asked if I wanted to be with her. And you don't have to ask me twice on that. I mean, look, I'm here. We already doing this. We just talking about it now. So I hustled up a $2,000 engagement ring for $200. As long as you say, I don't believe this is hot, then it was fine. It's like the opposite of a straw purchase with firearms. So I gave it to her, and we got engaged. A week after my surgery, I'm gonna say this one time. Women, if you want to irritate your man or your husband, when the doctor says don't do anything for 2 weeks, don't tempt him. So she had just gotten out of the shower. The shower is in the back room. I'm in the living room. There's no reason for you to walk in the living room and prance around and walk back into the bedroom. The doctor said no. The crazy oxycontin eating crackhead said, Landon, yes. A week later, I heard, oh shit, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh no. So I thought it was a boy. Turns out it's a girl. So I have 3 sons and I have a beautiful daughter. We move into a house. I still had that good job. I wound up getting a license, a driver's license, when I was 31. I'm 35 now. We bought a house together. We have no mortgage. My car paid in full. My swim, spa, pool, jacuzzi paid in full. My mother-in-law had a heart attack, and I made a decision right then to quit my to resign from my job. At the time, I made $67,000 a year, and I resigned to help her. Anytime you weigh money to someone's life, there's no comparison. And I did the doctor's appointments, told her to get food, and made sure she was good with the medication. That was 2 years ago, and she's alive today. I've been able to go to Puerto Rico in this process. I've been able to overlook the Caribbean Ocean. I've been able to take my kids to Disney World. I started a company, and when COVID hit, I made a decision to shut it down. Now, this is the type of integrity that I enjoy. Did you know they were giving people like $1,000 for unemployment? Damn. But guess what? I made a decision not to take the work. It's not that I couldn't get work. So I made a decision not to put my employees' health at risk and the public's health at risk. So I didn't file for unemployment because it wouldn't have been right. That needed to go to some other families who truly needed that. So 9 months ago, I became in a position to retire. Right? 35, retired. So I called my dad and I was like, hey man, just go ahead and let you know I made it. We have done it. And he said, Landon, what the fuck are you talking about? I said, I am officially retired. He said, retired from what? He said, life? I said, no, work. He said, Landon, you have put in about 9 years of working. You don't need to retire. And I was like, well, you don't need to hate on me. I'm retiring young and all. And at the time, I think I told him, well, I'm going to go take a trip to Thailand and fight Muay Thai there. I know you're going to work. You know, so like, this is what he told me. He said, don't do nothing, do something. And I was like, I got you. So I went out, right? Let me tell you one thing. Recovery's been good to me. I am a dad today. And this isn't a dad bod, it's a father figure. Get it right. Father figure. Yeah. So I went out, and I guess I'm not cool anymore. There's like different words that I really don't know the understanding of, like fleek. And then there's this certain word for drug dealers now called pusher. No, it wasn't pusher. It was plug. That's right. So what are we plugging? That is a terrible name. I would have been very upset if someone called me that. You my plug. I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm Landon. So, real quick, I sat on my recliner for 2 months and watched serial killer documentaries and ordered food. 2 months into it, the disease said, Landon, the serial killer documentary would go real good with a bottle of Crown. I had 13 years and 7 months clean, and that's how I know the disease is a terrible thing, because rational people would say, oh, a couple shots of brandy would go pretty good with this. My disease said a whole bottle. So I'm like, okay, this ain't right. So I applied for 60 jobs, I interviewed at 28 of them, and I got hired at 28 of them. I went back to work. I've been working for 6 months as a maintenance supervisor. My oldest son that I told you that I had, he lives in Florida now, and I had an awesome relationship with him because I'm available for all of my children. They want for nothing. If they need something, I give it to them. With the 12 step, man, what I want to explain to you is the responsibility I have because of this gift called life that y'all have given me the ability and the opportunity to work to through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, which is the steps, concepts, and traditions. I've been able to keep my hand out to let the newcomer catch up so we can walk down this path together. The collective responsibility that we have is we carry the message to the addict who still suffers, but we can carry this message outside of here because everybody needs hope. I'll close with this. When I got here, I had hope and a prayer, and I prayed, and it turned to trust. I had trust and a prayer, and I prayed, and it turned to faith. I had faith and prayer, and I prayed, and it turned to believe. Belief. And people tend to live what they believe, and I believe in this program, so that's what I live. Thanks for letting me share.